Another thing to believe it, that nothing else is better than Him. We're continuing our study of the book of Colossians. If you have your phone or your iPad or your Bible, I remember the good old days, you could just say, open your Bible. Now you have to say, turn your phone on, turn your iPad, or open your Bible. And it's God's Word, so it's good. But we're looking at Colossians chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 24 through 29. Interesting enough, I don't know if any of you have a life verse. A life verse is simply a verse or two that define where you're headed in life. And my life verses are Colossians 1, 28 and 29. If you go in my office, you'll see when you walk in on the left it's a green thing, like a sign. I don't know what else to call it. And it has my life verse on it. This is what guides me. This is my passion. This is how I know what to do. And it's been that way for a long time. But Colossians 1, verses 24 through 29 are basically a game plan for reaching Mount Ida with the gospel. And we need to understand that if you play football, and you've seen it on TV, that in football, there's a game plan. They have a plan that they're going to run to try to win the game. And if you watch basketball, basketball has a game plan. They have all kinds of variations of what to do. I was watching Baylor play yesterday and get beat by about 30 points, and they had no game plan. Game plan yesterday was to lose. But it was interesting. I was listening to the commentator talk, and he said they have a shot for most shots on the floor. Like if there's 10 seconds left, they have a play that they go to try to score with 10 seconds left. And I believe it was Kansas had the ball, and they had it out of bounds in a far corner. And the commentator said, you know, I don't think I've ever seen a play designed for that shot, that there was not enough time and not a good shot. But the interesting thing is that God has a plan to reach our community. Now, I'm talking specifically about the church this morning, and I want to point out there's two churches that are in the Bible, and they're in the Bible at the same time. Don't get them confused, because some people just want to be a member of the universal church. That's the church of all the redeemed, of all denominations around the world, where Jesus is the head of the universal church. That is church. But most of the time in the New Testament, the church is the gathering of committed. Thank you there. I'll be able to see now. The church is wherever in a community where they gather together to accomplish the purpose of God. And the purpose of God for the church and for us as individuals is to reach our community. It's the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have taught you. All of us in the church at First Baptist Mount Ida have a game plan of what we have to do to try to reach our community. Now, Josh Harper down the street has a game plan. Ty has a game plan. All of us have game plans, and they should be the same game plan. And the only game plan I can worry about is you. I can't be responsible for any other church. I just know that if we run the game plan that God has given us, we will make a difference in the world today. The problem is the church, the local church, a lot of people don't want to be a member of it. They want to be a part of the universal church, but they don't want to be a part of a local church. And that's a shame, because the scripture always defines the things that happen in the New Testament is through the local gathered church. A lot of people have this feeling that the church is a country club to take care of me rather than a hospital to reach the wounded and the lost. A lot of people believe that the church is responsible for all the problems in the world today. I've heard this over and over again. Well, the church, they brought this on. The church, it's an evil institution. People, because we have to have people, we have churches that don't do what they're supposed to do. And when I say church, that means people. Not all churches are bad, but I've heard people say, please don't say this to me. Well, you can if you want to. I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. What's wrong with you? Do you not read your Bible? I mean, in Philippians, for instance, or I believe it's either Philippians or Ephesians. I wrote this early this morning, not the sermon, but this verse. It says, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. Jesus loved the church. It was his idea. He died for the church. So to say that you love Jesus, but you don't love his community, something's wrong. In Colossians 1:24, it says this, for the sake of his body, talking about Jesus, which is the church. You see, the church, the local community, is the body. Our head, our leader, is Jesus. And the way Jesus moves in community is through his church. You're the feet, you're the fingers, you're the hands, you're the arms, and you're the legs. When you think of church, do not think of a building. Think of people who are redeemed by Jesus Christ trying to obey the Father and reach their community. You see, it's a family. Galatians 6:10, it says, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I'm trying to destroy all the bad ideas about the church. Some of them are this. Well, you know, the church is for just a certain group of people. Or the church is a building. It is not a building. You are the bricks. You are the martyrs. You are the church. Some people think that the church is out of date. It's out of touch. The problem with the church today, it's out of sync with what the Bible teaches about reaching our community. And my goal this morning is to kind of show you the game plan. It's not a country club. It's not about you. It's about that person who isn't here yet. So if you have an outline, you can open up on the back of your bulletin and you can follow along with me. But what we have here is God's plan for reaching Mount Ida. Number one, the one that nobody wants to hear, we must be willing to suffer. If we're going to be the church and if we're going to reach our community, we've got to be willing to suffer. Where was Paul when he wrote this letter? He was in prison. And in verse 25, he said this to a group of people that he had not met yet. He says, now I rejoice in what I am suffering. He's in jail, people. And yet he's rejoicing, not in his suffering, but he's rejoicing in the fact that he can help the church in Colossae, and he can build it up. He says, now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in regard to Christ's affliction. And then look what he says, for the sake of his body, for the sake of his body, the church, which is the church. You see, you've got to see the church is not an organization. It's not a denomination. It is an organism. It is a body, and Christ is a head. It should be alive. It should not be dead. And we need to understand that as the church, we need to be doing whatever is necessary to try to reach the people that God loves in our community. And it will often mean that you're going to have to suffer. You know, it's funny, Bob and I were talking about a week or two ago, and we were talking about how Wednesday nights used to be. And when I first came here, I didn't have time to look it up. I want to say we had 30, 40 on Wednesday nights total. Maybe, I don't know, something like that. And it was real easy. It was very quiet. It was fairly simple. And I can remember the first time I told Sam, I said, I think we're going to have 80 someday. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And I am part crazy, but anyway, now when there's not sub-zero temperature or a COVID outbreak, we can have 130 to 150 people on Wednesday nights downstairs. And the thing I can tell you it is not is quiet. I can't even promise you you're not going to get hit with a ball. But people, if that's not why we exist, something's wrong. If we don't exist for those people who maybe haven't been here on Sunday yet, if we don't exist on Wednesday nights, hey, let me tell you another thing. We need y'all to give to the church. You know why? Because it's more expensive to feed 150 people than 30 people. Especially with food going up and all that. You say, where does my offering go? Part of it goes to feed Wednesday night kids and adults. Because we don't charge anybody. If you can give a donation, you can. But this thing on Wednesday nights requires a whole group of people to come in and do nothing but cook and clean. That's all they do. They don't come listen to me. They cook and clean. Because when you have 150 people here, that's all you can do for some people is cook and clean. And I am grateful to God for that. And there's another group of adults here on Wednesday nights that don't go to my Bible study who do nothing but supervise or teach. I was so tickled. Our newest members, they're not here this morning, so I'll talk about them. Teach them to skip. Might be iced in, I don't know. But Gene and David Baldwin, they just joined. And they showed up on Wednesday night. They actually texted Greg and said, what can I do? And fortunately, we were down unfortunately, because I worried about where the kids were. But listen to me. If that kind of thing bothers you, go find another church, because there's plenty of them in the area that are happy without a bunch of kids being there. Right? We got to understand that sometimes, listen, I'm willing to suffer for the gospel. I'm willing to suffer for the church, because here's what I know. There is nothing greater than someone coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, you talk to a mom that's had a natural childbirth or a baby, and they'll talk about how horrible it is until they look at that baby and think, with time, it was worth it. Right? Ladies, I can't address that issue, obviously. The pain was worth it. And we've got to understand that as a church, we've got to be willing to suffer, to sacrifice money and time to be able to reach our community. You've got to be willing to suffer. And nobody wants to say that. I wish I could say it's just all wonderful, your best life. Your best life should include some suffering. 2 Timothy 4:5, it says, but keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Everyone needs to be committed to suffering in the local church. You know, Brent and I were praying this last week. We need some of you adults. Not going to mention any names. I'm not going to look anywhere out there. I'm to help him with the youth. We got a lot of youth. So, well, Wednesday night's my time to get away from you. I'm sorry to bother you. I think what you do here is more important than what you do on the baseball field, football field, basketball court. Because the suffering we do here can mean a new life. So, it's very important that you are willing to suffer to be a part of this church. That's the game plan. It's never been anything else. But it's worth it. Let me tell you what. It's worth it when you see someone encounter Christ. Second thing, we must be servants. You know, some of your translations in verse 25 say, I have become a minister. But it's really, it's the word that means servant. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present your word, to present to you the word of God in its fullness. We need to understand, we don't need any superheroes. All God asks from his people is that they would be servants, slaves. Means you don't have an agenda. And we need to understand that the reason you serve and what we serve, it's actually the word that's used in Acts 6 of the people who waited on tables. They served, they were waiters. What we have to do as a church to reach this community, we have to serve the Word of God. I mean, yeah, we serve them food, but it's not worth it just to serve them food on Wednesday nights if you're not serving them the Word of God in its fullness. We need servants. If you helped in Sunday school this morning, thank you. Those kids, those teenagers, they need to hear the Word of God in its fullness. What is the Word of God in its fullness? That Christ lived, that he died, and that he was resurrected from the dead for your sins to give you a new life. You see, everything we do here at the church needs to be centered around the Word of God and giving people the truth. And so many times churches get caught up in playing games and, you know, doing fun stuff. And we do a lot of fun stuff, but we always try to make sure that we are giving people the Word of God. And what Paul said there is, hey, God gave me a job. And I want you to understand this. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God's got a job for you at this church. Everyone has work to do. We are servants, and we basically have the responsibility of trying to fulfill the Great Commission, which is to make disciples of all the nations. That is what we're supposed to do. He said in verse 20, look at verse 26. He says, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. What is the mystery? When Jesus was born, the mystery was solved. It is God with us. It's God in the flesh. And then he goes on to say, to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this ministry. So our responsibility as a church, and when I say church, people, is for us to take the gospel to work, to play, to our community. Because that's the only way we're going to change this community is through the gospel. And Paul said, hey, that is my job. You know, people say, well, when would your church be big enough? Well, I would say when everybody in this county is either here or at one of the other churches, then I'm done. If my church gets full and Ty's is full, then I say, and Josh's is full and all the other ones in the community, then I'd say we need to start some more churches. You never stop. You never stop trying to reach people. We always exist for that person who's not here yet. And we need to understand the importance of being a servant. And being able to share with people the good news. See, it's the good news. It's not bad news. So it's very important we do that. Third thing, having Christ in you is the game changer. See, I don't think we get excited about that. I accepted Christ when I was a kid. I got saved back then. It's like it's history. Truth is, He's in you right now. Saving you right now. If you drop dead, He kicks in. He's within you. He's in you. He is the game changer. If your life's not changing, it's because you're not allowing Him to change you from the inside out. The more you get to know Him, the better you love Him, the more you change. Galatians 2:20 says it this way, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. That is the beautiful thing of the gospel. When you get saved, He comes to dwell within you. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew, a Gentile, rich, poor, He comes in. You might say, well, I didn't grow up in a religious family. Doesn't matter. When you believe in Him, the God who created dwells within you, and He wants to change your life. But how does that happen? See, y'all think the way you change is when the preacher screams at you, quit doing this, quit doing that, quit doing this. I used to have them say, we need to have a good revival. I need somebody to step on my toes. I was like, oh my gosh. Listen, He's in you. Wake up. Listen to Him. Read His word. Let Him shake you up. You don't need me to shake you up. And the way that it's a game changer is when you surrender to Him. When you say, it's no longer me, it's you, God. It's no longer me, it's Christ living through me. What will change your life tomorrow? It's when you wake up and say, it's not my life, it's His life. So what do I do today, Lord? You say, well, I go to work. Jesus wants to go to work. Remember the little guy? He goes to work with you. You either put Him to shame or you listen to Him. See, the game changer is when we, the church, start acting like it. And it's just imperative. Who is running your life? You're changed from the inside out. That's why it's called the good news. So the game changer is not having some, you know, Baptists, we're real good. Well, we're going to learn another evangelism program, and I've been trained in all of them. We're going to learn another program. We're going to do another ministry. We're going to get another notebook. We're going to do it. People, let Him live through your life, and you will change, and our community will change. The problem is, we got a mask on Him, and it's the kind that keeps Him from talking. Jesus in us is the game changer. If we try to change it with anything else, we're missing the point. Fourth thing, our message, please hear this, our message should always be Jesus. It's not some special Bible study. It's not some special knowledge. The point of our message should always be Jesus. If we could just, He's not Baptist, He's not Methodist, He's not Catholic, He's Jesus. 28 says this, He is the one we proclaim. We don't proclaim anyone else other than Jesus. If we do, we're messed up. But look what He says, He is the one we proclaim, admonishing. That word admonish means warns. I would say to all of you here this morning, if you die without Jesus Christ, you're eternally lost and in big trouble. I beg you to come to Christ. I would warn you. That's what warning is. It's saying, don't reject Him. Don't reject. How are you going to deal with death? You're going to just go back. You know, people and their views of death crack me up. I just go back to being nothing. So where did you come from? Did nothing come out of nothing? Somebody created you. Admonishing. You know, there are times when I try to say, you need to do this, you need to do that. I try to admonish. I try to be nice about it. I try to warn you. And here's what I tell you. You leave Jesus out of your marriage, you'll make your life a mess. If you leave Jesus out of your parenting, you'll make your life a mess. If you leave Jesus out of your job, you'll make your job a mess. You want me to go on? It's all about Him. I mean, seriously, I'm warning you. And then teaching, we need to teach people. We need to teach them stuff that matters, not how to be happy and clap their hands. And listen, that teaching to the kids this morning, He's in you. That's teaching. When you leave here and you go to that restaurant, guess what? He goes with you. When you treat that waitress badly, He's there. We need to understand at First Baptist Mount Ida, it always needs to be about Jesus. If we ever get to where we're talking about some guru, some this, some that, if we ever get off Jesus, we're in trouble. And the thing is, He uses the word we. It's us together. We need to tell people in our community about Jesus. And we need to tell Him He's good. He says, with all wisdom, we're to proclaim and admonish and teach Him with all wisdom. Y'all, my goal, I didn't get this sermon finished till Friday. Is that when I got it to you, Greg? Friday morning. And all week long, I've tried to make it where it makes sense. I mean, I'm a complete failure if you leave this place and you don't have a clue what to do. I say, God, help me take something complex and try to make it practical. Because if you don't get it, the greatest compliment you can give me is you understood what I said. Not that I use big words, not that I'm intellectual, because I'm not. But wisdom to me is me thinking, okay, this morning I get up early, what can I do to teach these kids about Christ in them? And so I go through all these scenarios, and I thought, well, you know, they get in a fight at school, Jesus gets in a fight at school. I tried to think through. And you know, with all wisdom, we need to be sure to do that. But that leads to the fifth thing, which is my goal. These two verses, 28 and 29, are my life verses. And really, verse 28, the last part, is everything to me. I did not come here to just draw a paycheck until I retire. I just didn't. I came here to change the community. Well, actually, to let Jesus change the community. I can't change anything. But even more important that for me at this church is I came here and I had one priority. In my preaching, my goal is to help you grow up. And to help me grow up. Look at verse 28, the last part. He uses that purpose clause, so that. Whenever you see so that, it's very important. So here's what I'm trying to do this morning. I'm trying to do what God's called me to do, which is that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. If I don't help you grow mature in your walk with Christ, I have failed my whole purpose of being here. If I don't help you see what it means to live for Christ, how to live for Christ, if I don't do that, people, I have failed. That is my goal every single week, is how can we, underline we, not me, not you, we, how can we grow more mature? Well, the thing I say every week is you got to get Scripture in your life. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, because Paul's going to talk about what it means to grow mature. 1 Peter chapter 2. These pages are sticking together. All right. Look at verse 2. Paul says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. Why? Because there's that purpose clause. So that by it you may grow up in your salvation. What is Peter saying? Peter is saying, when you accept Christ, you're a baby. And you will stay a baby until you feed yourself God's Word. And he calls it milk. Yesterday I stopped by and got to play with Zane, and one of the things I enjoyed was feeding him a bottle. But I tell you, I look forward to today that I can take him to the Mexican food restaurant like I do Liam and buy him food to eat. But he keeps getting bigger and bigger, and I put that bottle in there. You don't grow more mature as a Christian by growing older in the church and attending. You don't. You're still a baby sometimes, and you may be 70 years old if you're not allowing God's Word to get in you and grow you. And that's what Peter is saying in that passage. He's saying, listen, you need to grow up in your salvation. And listen, we want you to get into God's Word every day. We have small groups on Sunday morning, small groups on Wednesday night. We don't do that for fun. I want to do everything possible to help you get God's Word inside you. You know, the thing about Zane, he takes that formula and he's getting big. He's sitting up. Funny thing yesterday that got me some hope. When I walked in the house, Kristen was feeding him baby food. And then I gave him the bottle. But here's the coolest thing I've ever seen. You look on my Facebook page and see it. I thought it was great. He wanted my pickle. And here's this little baby with this pickle, this long sour pickle. And he's not eating it. He's just sucking on it. And he loves it. And Kristen goes, oh, hey, it won't be long before it's a hamburger or a taco. Why? He's growing. But a lot of times as Christians, we're still babies. Here's what I see. A lot of times I have people say to me, especially teenagers, after they go to a heavy church service where it's a very emotional thing, and they'll say, Brother Bill, I need to get saved again. Why? Well, I just felt guilty about my sin. Have you trusted Jesus? Yes, I have. Do you believe in him? Oh, yes, I have. But Brother Bill, I messed up. You don't get saved again. You grow up. You start reading your Bible and doing it, not just going down the front and get dunked again. You grow up. That's the purpose. Hebrews chapter 5, and I'm about done. Julie's not here to glare at me. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk is still being an infant. It says, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. See, the problem is people can't make good choices anymore because they're still babies. They don't get it. You teenagers, man, listen, grow up. Don't listen to what everybody else is saying out there to do. You got a brain, open your Bible. Kids, same thing, man. You just don't be like everybody else. We all need to grow up. And then the last thing is this. We must have his energy. You can't reach this community in your plans or your energy. I love verse 29 because in verse 29, he says this, to this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works within me. Listen, when you serve Him, you better be sure to serve Him in His energy, not your energy. Because here's what I can guarantee you. If you serve God out of your energy, you'll burn out. You'll go, church, I don't want to do anything anymore. I'm so tired. I'm retiring. And the truth is, when you allow Him from the inside out to give you strength, there's no, I keep wanting to say that there's no retirement plan in the church. You may try to make one, but it isn't in there. But here's what is in there. He says, He will give you what you need. So the question I have is, will you help us? Maybe some of you need to accept Christ. And I'm dead serious. If you die without Christ, it's over. It's done. Never pass up an opportunity to trust Him. If you don't know what that means, I'll talk to you. You know, nothing. Get a job in our church. You know, a lot of people treat the church like those free gym memberships. I had friends that did this in the city. You know what they do? They get a 3-month free gym membership. When it ran out, you know what they'd do? They'd find another free gym membership. When that ran out, they'd find another free. They never wanted to pay the price. Don't do that. Don't do that. We need you. We need you. And we need you to help us reach our community. That's the whole goal, the whole purpose. Maybe you need to join our church. That's a very personal decision that only you can make. And as you know, I'm not high pressure. I know Jerry Ann and I worked about 2 years on her membership. She was going to join and COVID came. And we love having you. But I mean, all of a sudden, nobody's here anymore. It's Facebook Live. Listen, I'd much rather see you in person than I can't see you on Facebook. I hate to tell you that. Let's change our community. Don't gripe about it. Change it. Share the gospel. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your grace. And I thank you for my church. And Lord, I want one more. And if they don't go here, if they go somewhere else, that's fine. But I want every person who doesn't have a home, who doesn't have a family called the church, to come here. When we reach them all, then maybe we can relax, but that's not going to happen. Lord, be with us. Help us to leave this place today changed. Help us to remember that Christ lives in us. So when we leave, He leaves. Help that to change the way we treat people and how we act. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.